Welcome, friends, to the Wednesday morning edition of the Grace Hour. Once again, broadcasting live from our studios, which are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach in Baltimore, Maryland. Great to be with you, friends, on this Wednesday morning. And usually on a Wednesday morning, myself and Pastor Barry Quirk would be hosting the broadcast. He's a bit under the weather, and Pastor Steve Andrelonis has graciously made himself available to join us in the studio today, so we'll be your hosts for the next 45 minutes or so as we continue to develop the theme that you've been listening to if you have been tuning into the Grace Hour already this week, the subject of forgiveness. And, of course, Pastor Steve, I think it goes without saying that this is an important theme in every believer's life, not only for what we have to receive from God, which is, of course, His forgiveness, but learning how to forgive others. There's the challenge for all of us in life.
For sure. And I think we're saying,
we're talking on a level, you know, as believers in Jesus Christ. But when we think about it, when we look at the world, I don't know, you know, we've both been on the world about the same number of years, but I don't ever remember such a significant and in-your-face way people deal with each other. Like, no one can be forgiven. It's like, just like you're not even forgiving things that happened 400 years ago. Like, this is like, it's impossible. Like, you know, this demand for sort of making amends for something that happened. Like, and I think maybe that points to our question is like, what is the question today? Why do we need to forgive? Why is it important to forgive? Why? And I think we think like, does anyone deserve forgiveness? That's, I guess, a big question. Does anyone deserve it?
No.
No, none of us deserve it. Nope. But Christ gave it after being rejected by his nation, rejected by the religious leaders, and then like railroaded by the judicial system of the Roman Empire and nailed to a cross without the requisite number of witnesses. For the ecclesiastical, pharisaical Sanhedrin trial, and then also for the Roman system of justice, it was all a miscarriage, you know, of justice, and maybe abortion is better because it was done on purpose. Maybe that's a better word than miscarriage. Miscarriages happen usually but abortion is a decision of the will, and Jesus said on the cross, you know, as Father, forgive them; they know not what they do. And I think that, you know, to say, who does forgiveness damage the most, right?
Yeah, that's the question that I hope we'll tackle today and answer, because it's all important. And you mentioned, of course, that, you know, that was the seven sayings. There were seven sayings that Jesus uttered from the cross.
Yes.
In my mind, the one that most deeply touched the thief who responded to Jesus and exercised faith in him had to be those words, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. I mean, obviously, he could have heard Jesus say, I thirst, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Any number of those sayings he could have heard and listened to. Even it is finished, not even fully understanding what that means, as we do today. But when he heard, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, I mean, that had to just capture his heart at that moment and say, how could this man, who has been crucified unjustly, ask his Father to forgive the ones that did this to him?
Well, I think the second part of the statement gives us an indication. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And maybe this will help people if we understand this principle of ignorance. What are people ignorant of in their own selves? Now, we understand like a certain theological premise of total depravity, that everyone is a sinner, born a sinner, conceived in sin, Psalm 51. Everyone sins against God and God alone. And the deception and the darkness and the very crafty work of the devil, who roams about seeking whom he may devour, Jesus is really saying that I'm forgiven. We should forgive because the people who offend us don't really know what they're doing. Yeah, but they chose to do it, but they don't really know the kingdom that they're serving. They don't really know. We are Bible believers, and we read the Bible, and we see the pages of Scripture, and we understand that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against these principalities and powers. But people do things, you know, in the name of justice, in the name of retaliation, in the name of revenge and vengeance, and they know not what they do. And so I can't find it in my heart to forgive somebody. But if you take this second part of what Jesus said and say, do you realize how lost those people are and how deceived they've been? Is that...
Yeah, that makes sense.
Could that help somebody?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, because if you have that as a premise and you're thinking, then you realize the value of forgiveness. And to go back to that, and by the way, friends, we want to invite you to join us. You can pick up the phone and join us live and enter the conversation. Quite simple. Grab a phone, dial one of these numbers. Toll free is 800-338-7060. And locally, if you're in the Baltimore area, we're broadcasting from, you can dial that local number, 410-483-3700. Love to hear your thoughts or the questions that you may have on this all-important theme and subject. But to get to that question, why do we need to forgive? The first thought that comes to my mind is, it almost seems selfish to say this, but I don't want to be a prisoner.
Yeah.
I don't want to be a prisoner. I don't want to be destroyed by an unforgiving spirit.
Yes.
And I think that when we learn to forgive, liberation fills our hearts and our minds. And we can address any offense that might have happened to us because we're ready to forgive. And how could we possibly be ready to forgive? And when you think of some of the offenses, some of the things that people could do to us, or some of the things that have been done to other people that are listening to us today, it has to start with God's forgiveness for us. That's the starting point. Miko, what can you give to others that you first haven't received from God?
That's
himself,
true.
Right?
Yeah. That's, yeah. Yeah. We have to let the Holy Spirit shed the love of God abroad in our hearts. So that's another thing, like, okay, my recognition, why forgive? Well, if you're looking for, like, well, that person doesn't deserve forgiveness, welcome to the club. We're all on that club. Mm-hmm. None of us deserve forgiveness. We've all offended God. We offend the law on one point. We offend the whole thing. You know, this separation from God, this is like, I'm interested in this. I thought of it this morning as I was driving down here, knowing that I would do this with you. I thought about that thing, like, envy is as rottenness to the bones. And I'm wondering, someone could maybe give us some insight on it if you're listening and listening to us talk here. But I'm wondering if envy is a part of that, like if unforgiving spirit is really rooted in your envy, and then that rots you. And, you know, like you're saying, the prison that you put yourself into because of holding on to a grudge. What's that famous saying? Like, it's like resentment. Holding on to resentment is like drinking poison yourself and looking at somebody else and hoping that they die.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is like you're saying, it's like, it seems selfish. Forgive for your own sake.
Yes, yes.
You know, forgive for your own sake, but it really is like, it really comes back to that, really. Because if you look at the other person and say, yes, he hurt me, and I could really get up and try to retaliate, but if I recognize that he doesn't know what he's doing, he's controlled by another kingdom, I have to forgive for my own sake, because otherwise I am being sucked into the dynamic of the kingdom. He's put I'm in bondage.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is, we're talking about something that's supernatural here, because it goes against the grain of our human natures to forgive someone, especially when, and I was listening to a family member, a Jewish man whose family members were killed, and then his children were kidnapped, and they are held at this present hour hostage by Hamas in Gaza. And he said, I have nothing in my heart but forgiveness. And as I listened to him and I listened to his testimony, I thought to myself, how is that possible? I mean, I can't even imagine, you know, communicating or expressing that kind of forgiveness. And yet we know that what's impossible with men is possible with God.
Yeah. I think, you know, you brought up this whole incident in there, and it's like, it seems to me that the patterns of unforgiveness, like I'd be interested if someone were to say, if a leader was to come out and say, I was wrong. No, I'm sorry. Those three sayings, I'm sorry, I was wrong, please forgive me. If some leader were to say that, I'm sorry, I was wrong, please forgive me, would that take the air out of this anger? Would that reduce anger to like a, you know, would it put out that fiery anger that's raging in a couple of groups of people here? I'm thinking, and would they be able to accept that? It's like if someone, okay, for instance, we have these large movements to try and create a monetary settlement for those who were suffered under the you know, the wicked institution of slavery as it was practiced in the United States. So we have this, we got to pay them this much money. We got to pay them this much money. We got to pay them this much money. We got to pay them off. But if someone would just stand up and say, I'm sorry. Now, this is simplistic. I agree. It's minimalist. It's like reductionist, all this kind of thing. And I am not in that place to, you know, I was not affected by that in my life. So yes. So I'm talking as a person who's had like a, you know, lived my life as the kind of person I am. So, but I'm just wondering if someone were to say to you, I'm sorry, it was wrong, please forgive us, what would that do? And so, and then the ball is sort of sent across the net.
Yes.
And now it's your serve. Yes. I'm serving you by admitting this. Now, what would that do? Now, I'm not saying that that's going to satisfy people. It doesn't. It's like, but, you know, if you're waiting for a pot of money to release you from a feeling of inferiority, anger, and oppression, I think you're going to be waiting for how much time are you wasting?
Yeah, yeah, it's probably not going to happen. You're right.
No,
when you think of, and I love this, that the potential within our hearts to forgive others is so great, and it knows no limits, because the forgiveness that we've already received from Christ knows no limits.
Yes.
And that's the motivation. That's the incentive. That's the impetus for us to forgive others. It's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, Paul saying, forgive others, even as God has forgiven you for the sake of Christ.
Yeah.
And with that, you know, as our starting point,
mm-hmm.
And again, it's probably going to be tested. I know it's been tested in my life. I'm sure it's been tested in your life.
And yeah.
Any honest believer will say, yes, it's been tested it should be, because God wants us to give more than lip service to what we're talking about today. He wants it to become a reality in our lives.
Yeah. Oh, the weight of bearing grudges, you know? And I like that you got the book there, R.T.
Yes.
Kendall. It's really, there's really no other book like it, I think. You've read it and I've read it. It's like, you know, he puts some things just before you and you're just thinking about it, like who is really, like, again, this, we come back to this selfish element, unforgiveness, the choice not to forgive somebody, to hold tightly to a grudge, to keep waiting for, to use a secular term, for the karma to kick in, to wait for that, to people to get their just desserts, all those little idioms and phrases that we can use. Is like, it's just so so defeating and so destructive, and it's really inhibiting anything. And I'm not saying this is easy. We had R.T. Kendall on the Grace Hour years ago. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And you asked him a question. Someone called in about a significantly grievous situation. They had been abused by their partner in some way, and like the person was saying, and he said, you know, she says, you know, I've heard that I'm not really forgiving unless I forget. And he just said, oh, dear, you know, you may never forget. Mm. He said, stop expecting yourself to forget, but you got to forgive.
Yeah, yeah.
You remember?
I do. And I love that because, you know, I've heard that. I'm sure a lot of our listeners have heard that throughout the years. If you don't forget, you haven't forgiven. That's not really true, is it?
No.
Because you can make the decision to forgive.
Yes.
But because God gave us a memory, we might not be able to let it go. It still may try to come back. But every time that memory of what the other person has done comes to our minds, that's when we step up and say, I have forgiven that.
Yes.
So we meet that bad memory with the reality of the forgiveness that God has given us to give to them, and we're released, and we don't have to become the prisoner.
No.
It's fascinating.
Now, Jesus said, you know, this forgiveness thing on the cross, Father, forgive them. He also said, like, when Peter asked, you know, Peter thought he was like really like, you know, I am mostly spiritual because 7 is God's perfect number, and I am willing to forgive 7 times in a day. And Jesus said, well, multiply that a little bit, you know. And if you think in your waking moment, you know, I've calculated it, you know, the 490 times Jesus said, no, 70 times 7.
Yeah.
And when you think about it, when you calculate it, if you figure you sleep 6 hours, most people sleep at least 6 hours. So that means there's 18 hours in a day. I think, you know, if you get offended every other minute, you got to forgive, Jesus is saying. So every 2 minutes. It's like if you've been offended, if you get offended by somebody every 2 minutes, the same thing, you got to forgive them 70 times 7. And like, and then Peter said, increase our faith. And that's where we come back to the Holy Spirit principle, right?
Exactly, yeah. And the fact that Peter would say, I mean, it's fascinating to me that under the law, you were required to forgive someone 3 times.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Thank God for the new covenant.
That's right.
Right. Thank God for the grace of God. But so 3 times. So Peter says, how about I double that and throw 1 in for a good measure?
There you go.
Hoping to say, you know, Jesus would say, Peter, really, you mean that? That's incredible. To the other disciples, did you hear what he just said?
Yeah.
No, he's not impressed at all. Thank God for the new covenant, because if we were under an old covenant, we would meet the limit and we'd be in big trouble.
Yeah.
But there is no limitation to God's forgiveness for us, and there should be no limitations for our forgiveness of others.
You
mentioned the book, R.T. Kendall, Total Forgiveness. It's a great read, friends. We highly recommend it. But there are, in this book, and he includes a number of new testimonies. This is the latest edition, I believe, of his book.
Okay.
And I just want to read a couple of these, Pastor Steve.
All right.
One brother writes into him and says, tears of despair and confusion gave way to the words, I never believed it could happen to me. He writes, I was devastated, betrayed, dazed, head in hands. I was quickly sinking into hopelessness. Self-pity was giving way to a hurt and bitterness it seemed I was powerless to escape. Brother Kendall's book, Total Forgiveness, was the right word at the right time. This book did not provide a soft shoulder to cry on, but it provided a rock to stand on. Precept upon precept, I was moved from self-pity and unforgiveness to layers of truth that refused to leave me as they found me. Total Forgiveness was no how-to manual on forgiving. I think that we should state that, because some people think, if I get the book and read it, I'll be fine. No, he said, it was a platform for me to allow the Word to transform my personal devastation to total forgiveness through the supernatural gift of grace to forgive.
Yeah, we should give you a disclaimer here. This book is not a comfortable set of like 12 steps to get you to the place where you've forgiven somebody. This is like an uncomfortable book. And he puts himself in there. He talks about the grudges that he was holding on to and how it was debilitating him, making him really disabling him as a believer and as a pastor. He was just, he had no peace in his life. And he was basically collapsing and imploding on himself, I think is the word that he uses maybe. But someone was very direct with him, and so he's very direct. So if you get this book and you start to read it and you say, I thought this was going to, like, you know, release me And it will, but it's like there's some confrontation there. Absolutely. That's happening. You're being shown yourself. It's a mirror. It's holding up, and you're like, wow, I've done that. It's like, you know, it's...
And that's the beautiful thing about the book, you know, when you recognize and realize that you are a forgiven person, well, forgiving or forgiven people learn to be forgiving people.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of it. Uh-huh. It of course, it starts with us. Of course, God has to forgive us. But that's just the beginning of the healing power that can be extended towards broken relationships, broken families, broken homes, broken hearts. I often think of the story of the founder of MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Driving.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's a fascinating story.
I think she's from Maryland.
I believe so.
Yeah, I think so.
And here she was all those years, so mad, because a drunk driver got behind the wheel of a car and took her son's life or daughter's life. I can't exactly remember whether it was a daughter or a son, but she was so mad. And she held on to that anger, that bitterness for so long, for so many years. Until finally she realized, look, I don't want to spend the rest of my life being mad.
Mm.
And that's when she realized that what that person did, taking the life of her son or daughter, they had to be forgiven. And she said that's when she found freedom, deliverance, health, healing. I mean, whoever you are. And again, as you said earlier with that illustration, Pastor Steve, you know, we're not saying we've gone through what some of our listeners have
gone
through.
That's true, yeah.
And it would be easy for us to sit here behind the microphone today and to say, look, you need to forgive. Well, maybe God has to take you through that process. Maybe you have to start with your own forgiveness and realize just how much God has forgiven you. And then you can begin to create this capacity. And it will involve forgetting, but it might not at the beginning. And maybe the forgetting comes later down the road.
Maybe. I mean, maybe just the thing becomes so small in your reality that it sort of disappears. And the next thing I think to, you know, when we think, what do we do with that? Like, you know, there's that whole parable, the parable, what we call the unjust steward. Now, this is like an interesting thing. Like, you know, so it's a parable. Let's be honest. This is a parable. So Jesus is using an illustration to talk about, like, what are you supposed to do? So we know the story, a guy owes like millions of dollars, and then he is owed like $100 or $10. A ruler forgives him and, cancels a humongous debt, and then the person goes out and holds somebody else accountable for such a tiny debt. And I think Jesus spoke that parable to say a couple of things. One, the offenses that have been done against you are very small compared to the offenses that you have done against me. And then we see something that's really strange, that the guy who was forgiven millions of dollars of debt is now like cast into the prison by the person who forgave him. And I think it says something, there's a little part in that story, like other stewards saw this and they brought it to the master. And that's the key phrase, I think, don't you? Because you've taught this, in your Gospels class for sure. That's the key phrase. When I see this happening, when I see like a believer who's been forgiven holding a grudge against somebody and trying to do it, what do I do with that? I take it to the master. And what does the master do? Well, the master could like really, you know, will do something to that person. We can see that person sort of, you know, seems like he's gliding through life, but really the Lord is on top of that. The Lord is dealing with that. It's God's servant. They belong to God. And if you see that kind of thing, you take it to the master. You don't have to confront it yourself. You might get an opportunity to say something like that to somebody. You know, really, you've been forgiven so much, you should forgive. And that person might like blow you off, but take it to the master.
Yeah.
Go to God, you know. Can God deal with his own? He does, and he does it much better than we do it, right? I mean, see Moses. Moses did something that, he just tapped the rock twice. And, you know, but I told you to speak to the rock, not to tap it. Mm-hmm. And like Moses, you know, paid for that, even to the point where he's like arguing with God about it, and God says, shut up. Mm-hmm. Don't talk to me about it. This is the way it's going to be. Mm-hmm. You're not going to cross the river. You're going to, you know, it's just, you know, I can't, you know, let you off on this for some reason. So,
interesting. Well, friends, you can join us. We mentioned that the phone lines are open, and we hope that you will participate. We know that many of you, this is a subject that doesn't escape any of us. All of us have to be confronted with our own forgiveness and then the forgiveness that God asks us to extend to others who have wounded, offended, hurt us. I mean, if you're alive, you're going to be offended.
Yeah.
You're going to be hurt. You're going to
be
wounded.
Exactly. You're going to be cut off on the road.
Yeah.
You know? And that's an instant reaction usually for that. Hopefully you don't use your fingers.
Amen.
That's right. You know, I'm sorry. You shouldn't do that if you're a believer.
Amen.
Don't be.
But join us and ask those questions and share your thoughts with us at 800-338-7060. And right here in Baltimore, you can join us at 410-483-3700. Let me read another one of these testimonies, Pastor Steve.
Yeah.
This gentleman writes, "Total forgiveness truly caught me by surprise in regards to forgiving myself. Struggling with hurts and issues of the past, I began to realize my lack of self-forgiveness was a point of pride and self-righteousness that kept me in bondage and anguish. Releasing the past to God was the initial step for me to find peace and the true motivation to forgive others. To walk through the valley of forgiving ourselves is empowerment to stand on God's mountain of mercy."
Wow.
I like the way that that's said. Yeah. To walk through the valley of forgiving ourselves is the empowerment to stand on the mountain of God's mercy.
Well, I think that's really like, you know, when God, Jesus, was asked about the great commandments, you know, he was saying two things. He was saying, the commandments are these, the greatest commandments are these, you know, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love others as you love yourself. So there you see that, you know, true love begins with me receiving the love of God for me and receiving the forgiveness for me. And we read the life of David, we read Psalm 51, we know the egregious thing that David did with Bathsheba. It's like, is there... You know, why is that in the scriptures? Why is that? Just to show you, just, you know, are you, I really think that that's like, you know, when you, on the level of like, you know, sinful things to do, that's way up there. Well, I stole $50 from the church offering plate. Yes, but can you forgive you? And I've never been able to forgive myself for it. You know, even though I put the $50 back in 500 times. Okay, well, there's a process going there. Have you stolen somebody's wife, got her pregnant, and then had her husband killed? Like that's
to cover up your sin.
To cover up your sin, yes. Have you done that? I mean, I don't mean to laugh. It's really serious. But David, you know, David said, "Against thee and thee only." And then I think in the other psalm, what's the other psalm where he talks about being dried up? And
yeah, Psalm
and
32,
I think the Psalm 32. So you got to put those two together. David, like when you're thinking that someone's getting away with something, and if you like, you bring that thing to the master was dealing with David harshly in his emotions. He probably wasn't sleeping at night. He describes this all in Psalm 32. And then we see the expression, the forgiving, the song he wrote to God about forgiving, being forgiven, you know, against thee and thee only, the humble and contrite heart that God created. So I think forgiving yourself is like that. If you're having trouble forgiving somebody else, then the possibility really exists that you really haven't forgiven yourself.
Yeah. Yes. That takes you back to moments where your soul should awaken to that reality, because you mentioned earlier about the unjust steward, you know, the unforgiving steward. Well, remember, he pleaded with his master.
Yes.
Fell on
his face.
Exactly. You know, and how did he approach the master? He said, "Look, give me some time, set me up on a payment plan, and I will pay you everything I owe you." Then the master said, "I forgive you of your debt." It was as though he didn't even hear it.
Yes.
He didn't receive it, because if he had, he would have said, "Well, then, are you throwing out my plan to repay you back everything I owe you?" And the master would have said, "Yes, I just told you I forgave your debt." But he went out. He just blew off. He didn't even hear him say, "You're forgiven." And he goes right out and finds somebody who owes him. And then he says, you know, "Please give me a chance. Give me some time." No tolerance for that.
Yeah.
I think it really does go back to the fact, and you just nailed it, we might not sense that God has really forgiven us.
Well, that's a good point. I've never looked at that part of the parable like that, but you make a big, you're bringing a great point in there. Like, he didn't hear the word of forgiveness for himself, so he really couldn't express it to the other guy.
How can you?
Yeah.
If you haven't received it yourself, you've got nothing to
give.
That's
right. Yeah.
Except bitterness, anger, resentment. Pay me what you owe me.
Yeah. Wow. That's there you go. We just had a revelation here, ladies and gentlemen. I'm thinking if you're watching us, but I'm thinking that, you know, because I've, you know, I'm thinking you take it to the master. I've thought about that point, but why couldn't he forgive the man who owed him so little was because he hadn't really in his heart, you know, so the fact he was a prisoner mentally and emotionally already before the master put him into jail to pay all. It's like, that was like, you know, that the prison he was in internally was just expressed now externally because, you know, of his unforgiveness.
Incredible.
Wow. That's why it's, you know, that's why it's so important. Like, do you want to be a fully functioning believer in your experience? Then, you know, how much have you meditated on the finished work of Christ for yourself?
There you go. There you grow. I mean, to me, in my mind, and from my own experience, if I keep looking at what someone else did to me or keep thinking about what they did to me rather than focusing on what Christ has already done for me, I don't think I'm going to have a capacity to forgive anybody.
Yeah.
But if I'm focused on the finished work, if I'm focused on the cross, if I understand that forgiveness has come to me, like the floodgates of forgiveness are open, as that one brother described it, walking through the valley of forgiveness himself, that's when you can find yourself on the mountain of mercy. That's when you have this amazing capacity to forgive others. I can't even imagine that forgiveness is possible if you just keep rehearsing it. And don't we have that capacity in our souls?
We do.
You know, we might hit the pause button when it comes to forgiving someone, but as soon as we see them, that's when we hit the replay button.
Yeah.
And we're reminded all over again about what they did. And then we ask ourselves, is God going to let them get away with it? Maybe it's my responsibility to make sure that they don't get away with it. And then we withhold that forgiveness.
Yeah.
And as you said at the outset of the program, with the idea and the hope that they're going to be punished when in reality we are the ones that are punished.
Yeah. Wow. It's like, and you add into that, you mix into that the program of projections that the prince and the power of the air is like very, you know, those little scenes, you know, it happens to me, you know, I remember things that happened before I was saved when I was like 16, 17, how strange I was. I have to go back to the cross with Jesus since I said, Father, forgive me. I didn't know what I was doing, you know, and I had to rehearse that again. It's like, it just doesn't, you know, would I love to, like, you know, I recognize the scriptures, but, you know, the devil is like, very good. Let me just pull this one out for him, you know, because, you know, it's something, you know, I'm going to trigger Steve today by taking him back to when he was 16 and this happened. And like, you know, he drives by a spot on Golden Ring Road where he plowed into the back end of a car when he was 16, you know, and I'm like thinking that happened like last week, you know, and I'm like going, you know, Father, I didn't know what I was doing at that point, you know, and can you bring yourself under that, like under that and receive that for yourself? Because if I don't, then I'm going to be frozen.
Yeah. Yeah. We're just setting ourselves up in our own personal prison.
Yeah.
But let me give you one of the final testimony that we could read from R.T. Kendall's book entitled Total Forgiveness. This brother writes, thank you so much for living and writing Total Forgiveness. I knew I had to read your book. My wife of nearly 16 years got involved in an affair with a pastor of a local church. She asked me to move out. I took the book with me. I knew I needed it. It challenged me with such vigor, and I couldn't ignore the message. I knew I was faced with one or only one choice. I had to forgive them and myself totally. The experience was wonderful. A weight was lifted off of me as I began on a new path of working through my own problems, changing the things that I could and leaving the other issues, like the state of their hearts, in God's hands. I forgave them over and over. I refused to let Satan get a foothold in my life by using my own anger against me. I give glory to God because he prepared my heart before I ever even knew I had a problem. So when this news broke, I was firmly in his hands.
Wow.
That's incredible, isn't it?
It is. It is. It's just, yeah, that's, yeah.
How about that statement? I refuse to let Satan get a foothold in my life by using my own anger against me. Isn't that what happens with an unforgiving spirit?
Yeah, it's like you're, you know, and like you have a couple of enemies at work here. You are an enemy to yourself, and then you have an enemy of your soul. And as a believer, you are targeted, you know, and to get us wrapped up in those, you know, to see that, to see the enemy and to see that what he's firing at us to try and get us to be wrapped up in ourselves. It's like, it is, so you're right. We've said it a couple of times. Like it is a supernatural element. It is a plot. It's like the devil does not want forgiveness to reign on the earth. Because once it does, then peace is possible. You know, peace is possible. And it starts with me, you know, receiving the forgiveness of God for myself, coming to myself, going to the Father, just like the prodigal son story, Luke 15, coming to myself, seeing that there is a Father that would welcome me and run to embrace me. And, you know, you may be lying face down because of the product of your decisions. You did something, you know. That time is gone. That money is spent. You know, you were wound up face down in a swine pool, and now you're going back and your Father's running to embrace you. It's like, can you see that in your mind? You know, can you see that in your mind? I think all those parables work together. Like the lost sheep, people are lost. They need to be brought back to the flock. People are very valuable. They get lost even in the midst of the house of God and the local assembly. And then, you know, and you could go out and really, really significantly blow it. And can you be forgiving? And that's the Father's message to the elder brother. It says, look, you've got everything. You've got everything. You didn't do this. You still got everything. It's like, so, and it's still yours, but you can't, you know, if you don't forgive the way that I've forgiven your brother, like, you're never going to enjoy any party. If I gave you a goat to have a party right now, you wouldn't enjoy it because the unforgiveness in your heart is going to freeze you. And don't let it. Don't let it. That's what we're trying. I guess that's what we're trying to say. Why forgive? Because it's the best thing for us. It's the best thing for me to forgive.
Yeah. It is. I know. It sounds almost selfish, you know, because we're supposed to forgive others.
It is selfish.
But it's important. It's vital if we want to make any progress with our lives.
It's a good kind of selfish.
It is. And can't we say also that the decision to forgive is the starting point? You might say, well, why should I bother forgiving when I don't have any emotion behind it and I still have some bitterness in my soul and there's still some resentment present? Because that decision to forgive is going to bring you down the road where your forgiveness is going to become complete. Maybe it's partial. I think that Joseph, when he forgave his brothers initially, I don't think it was complete.
Yeah.
You could tell he was almost like, I sense as I read that story in the book of Genesis that he was like, I got to make them pay a little bit.
Yeah, there was
for
a little
what they
bit
did
of,
to me. It was a little payback.
A little
at
bit
the
of interesting manipulation there.
Was it
yeah,
there?
Yeah,
absolutely. It wasn't like he saw them, he met them, he recognized them. He's in a position of power. They come to him because they need food to survive in order to continue to live. And he could have just said, "Hey, it's me, Joe," but he didn't.
No,
there were some things that happened. So even in the case of Joseph, which when we think of Joseph, we know he forgave his brothers, but maybe it was something that was progressive. Maybe it took some time. Maybe as much as he knew he had to and that he should, he had to kind of walk himself through it. So oftentimes there's some immaturity. There's some growth that has to happen when it comes to our forgiveness.
Yeah, and then again, you know, as Joseph going through that process, you know, God is using it. And God exposes again, like, if you think, okay, the 12 brothers did this, the 11 brothers did this to Joseph. And, you know, what this encounter, these little going back and forth where Joseph is doing this, what it exposes is that those brothers had never forgotten or forgiven themselves for what they had done to Joseph and to their father.
Yes.
Okay, yes, the father created this situation by giving Joseph lots of favor, a cool coat, all those things. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, forget the family dynamic. But when these brothers sold him into slavery, you know, you hear the conversations and you realize that these guys did not get away with it.
That's right.
It's like, so you're saying, like, I can't forgive somebody because I don't want them to get away with it. They aren't getting away with it.
No,
is your
not.
God big enough to, is my God big enough to deal with them?
Yeah.
And the story tells us they were being dealt with. And they, you know, I told you, Reuben, I told you, I told you, I told you, I told you, this is the just desserts. We've got it. We never should have done it. That's when Joseph weeps.
I know.
And then Joseph realizes that, oh my gosh. You know, they never really forgot what they did to me. I've got to forgive them. And then it happened. It all came out.
Unbelievable. I love that story because it was like like you just said, they said, we knew this day would come.
Yeah.
We knew we weren't going to get away with that. And that's important for us to understand because we sometimes think the other party, the offender, they've gotten off the hook. They have not gotten off the hook. They could be tormented in their soul and could be in need of your forgiveness.
Yes.
My forgiveness.
Yeah.
And thank God that the way God has forgiven us, it's complete. It's total. The debt is canceled. I love that. He is not going to remind us later of what we did. You know, sometimes in relationships, we say we forgive, and then we keep a mental notebook of those failures of the other person.
Mm.
And that is so detrimental. I mean, we know Psalm 130, verse 3, God, if you marked iniquity, who could stand? Some people say they forgive, and yet they mark their iniquities down in their mental notebooks. But that's not real forgiveness.
No.
Total forgiveness is when the debt is gone and you don't bring it up again.
Yeah. And we know, to just like we're finishing up here, but we know the conclusion to the Joseph story is this lingered in them. They still sort of wrestled with this whole idea because when Jacob died, they were all like fearful that now he's going to wreak his revenge. And he said, the big statement there is, am I in the place of God? And that's the thing, like, am I in the place of God? Am I Christ crucified on the cross? No, I am not. But Christ is crucified for me. And that's the big thing. Joseph wept because he said, I'm not in the place of God. Yes, you meant it for evil, but God worked it together for good to save many people alive. That's the end of the story. And the same thing, am I in the place of God? Am I in the place of God? And so, you know, no, I'm not. Jesus died on the cross for me. I didn't go on the cross for myself. Jesus went on the cross for me so that many people would be saved alive. Wow. Forgive yourself, please.
Yeah, amazing. And aren't we most like God when we learn to forgive?
Mm. Well, it is. It's God, you know, the Spirit does it, and it's not even our own effort.
No, He does it for us. Well, friends, thanks so much.
We're encouraged. We're like built up at each other.
We didn't get any phone calls because we had some issues with
forgive us
today. Yeah, you have to forgive us. There you go. A practical application of today's message. We're going to forgive the people who produced the broadcast. We're going to forgive, you know, the miscommunication
the
that we had.
Line or
see,
is
already
there a landline?
We get to put into practice the very message that we're talking about. But thanks so much. We hope that the program has helped you today. We'll be back tomorrow for the next live edition of the Grace Hour. That's coming up for the Thursday morning edition. We hope that you can join us then. Until then, may God bless you richly.